Good morning. My name is Jim, and I had the privilege of going a second time to El Faro and to Guatemala on this mission trip with this great group of people, and it was wonderful. And going a second time, I wasn't quite sure what to expect again. I knew I'd have a great time, but how would God reveal himself to me this time? And it happened fairly quickly. One thing I learned right away was God is a God of fellowship, relationship, and connection. And let me explain. You have to imagine that we've flown from Boston to Miami. We've caught a flight from Miami to Honduras. We've taken a bus 4 hours north across the border to Guatemala. We've taken a boat 15, 20 minutes to get to El Faro because roads aren't really roads there. And as soon as we stepped off the boat, there's a young woman standing on the beach, and she's wearing a Manteno High School t-shirt. Now, why would that catch my attention? Well, Manteno High School is where my wife, Lori, went to high school. So, of course, I said, did you go to Manteno High School? She's like, yes, I just graduated. I said, my wife went to Manteno High School. So connection number one. Connection number two, I meet her father very quickly. We start talking, and they're from the area. They're Nazarene. They're there for the week. They're not sure who they're going to connect with or what they're going to do. And I said, you wouldn't happen to know a Jack McCormick, would you, and his wife, Leanne? Oh, I've been friends with them for 35 years. He's a great guy. Well, Jack McCormick was my wife's pastor. He married us 27 years ago. So I'm having this personal connection and these people coming right into our midst in the middle of Guatemala. Well, then it wasn't too long before we all figured out that Rick, this gentleman I was talking to, is the uncle of Bethany Knight. Do you remember Bethany Knight of Bethany and Kyle Knight, our redheaded drummer? So now we're all connected to these people. And it was amazing how we just meshed as a group, how we connected, how he brought the right people together at the right time for that week to do his work. And you saw some of them in the video. You probably said, I don't recognize. Who are those people with these guys? Well, that was Rick, his daughter Leah, and her friend Kenzie. And we just became a family for that week. And it just reminded me how God brings the right people at the right time at the right place to do his work. And that's what I took away from this trip.
Awesome. Thank you, Jim.
Good morning. Like Jim, this is my second trip to Guatemala, and I'm going to let the kids share their experiences, what they saw. So I saw a lot of the same sights as the first time I went. The people love us, and they are happy with what they have. What's apparent to me is the love from the missionaries at El Faro. They show the love of Jesus in everything they do. I've followed Tommy and Katie Matthews since our first trip 3 years ago. They devote their entire lives to this every day while raising their infant daughter, Ashton. Giving up a week is nothing in comparison. The heat, along with trying to work without what we think are essentials, like clean water, paper towels, rags, can be mentally and physically exhausting. While we were painting, we were sweating profusely. It was so hot. But at the end of every day, we had a nice meal prepared for us, a hot shower, and a comfy bed to sleep in. It's all temporary for us, but it's their lives every day, yet they don't complain. We aren't all called to be long-term missionaries, but I would encourage you to at least try it for a week. You really can't describe it unless you're there. It is life-changing, and you will want to do it again. Mm-hmm. We can all do something from where we are to make the world a better place. I want to thank my church family for supporting us along the way, from all our fundraisers to the prayers while we were away. We really did feel your love.
Thank you, Tina.
Hey, I'm Sam. This trip was very special to me because I was able to return back to El Faro, the place that had already had an impact on my life 3 years ago when I went with the youth group. Being in Guatemala is very eye-opening. The amount and level of poverty is beyond anything we can see here at home. These people live off of only a few dollars a day, they don't know where the next glass of water will come from, and they have holes in their roof. Their homes are open to the outside, and only a few people get to have the luxury of cement floors. Most of them have to live in the dirt. Even though the poverty there is so extreme, the people are very happy. When talking to the locals, you can see the joy living inside of them. Those people own so little, but they have so much joy. I think we can learn something from that. Working at the children's hospital was my favorite part. Being able to walk around and make balloon animals for the kids is an experience I am very grateful for. I also want to thank you for all your support and prayers. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Haley, and Guatemala was my first ever mission trip. I was very excited to go because 3 years ago, my sister Allie went and told me all about it. She told me how amazing it was and very life-changing. So I was excited to see what was in store for me when I went. When we got there, I was super excited to work in the hospitals and see all the children there. All the people in the hospitals were so excited to see us and so welcoming, which is surprising because here in America, if there are loud noises and construction going on in the hospitals, we complain about it. But not one complaint was made while we were there. Everyone smiled at us and tried talking to us. Some people even offered to help us, which is pretty cool to see. One night when we were at church service and we were worshiping, we sang parts of the songs in English and parts of them we attempted to sing in Spanish. While we were singing the songs, I felt the presence of God. And even though the language barrier was there, I felt an overflow of the Holy Spirit and it overwhelmed me. When we went to the village and passed out water filters, it was eye-opening to see what little the people had. And even with very little, they were happy and content with what they had. They were so grateful for water filters. Some people tried cleaning their water with rags or even tried putting bleach in the water, which was not good at all. When it didn't rain or algae grew in the buckets, they would have to walk a ways to get fresh water. In America, we can go to the sink or go to the store and get bottled water, but they don't have that privilege. And it's something that we don't think of every day. We take water for granted, and all the time we shower and leave the sink running when we brush our teeth, but they don't even have showers or water that they can just let run. Another thing they barely had was their own space. Most of the family slept in one room, and the rest of the house was open, so bugs were all over, especially the dishes after dinner. Some families had beds and some had hammocks, but the kids and the parents all slept together. Maybe they had a kitchen, but most of the time it was in the open area that that was outside. They didn't have refrigerators or cabinets. They hand washed every piece of clothing when we have machines to do that. It's insane how much we have that they don't, but they are still content with what they have. I do believe Guatemala has left an imprint on my life, and I am so blessed the church board and so many other people have blessed me with donations towards going on this mission trip. I hope that I bless the people in Guatemala just as much as they have blessed me.
Awesome. Thank you, Haley.
Okay.
My trip to Guatemala was life-changing. I fell through one roof while I was at the hospital. I wasn't hurt. One thing that stood out to me, and I'm still trying to understand, is that the people there would struggle to get clean water every day. It was either rainwater or they'd have to walk and find a spring. And that's all they had, like, for their whole life. I can't understand what it's like, and I just can't imagine living like that. And I just love this trip. That left a huge impact on me.
Awesome. Thank you, Caleb.
Going back to Guatemala was such an amazing feeling. I loved how we were able to reconnect with all the people that we met there at Alfaro 3 years ago. I usually go on missions trips and do a lot of children's and VBS work, but this time I was able to put my focus on the construction and refurbishing aspects, and it was a powerful feeling watching the children's hospital come together. With so many hands on deck, we were able to accomplish so much work on the pre and post surgery ward there. All of the people are always so grateful and try so hard to communicate with us, even through the language barrier. I love watching our team come together as one body of Christ and be flexible and mold to whatever was needed. It is a goal of mine to get a young adult team to Guatemala to experience this amazing opportunity. There are also other ways to help out El Faro. They have a website. If you go on the site, you can donate to El Faro or the specific missionaries that are there. It is a powerful place, and it is clear that these people love what they do, and all of the people there in Guatemala are extremely grateful for us. And it is so exciting to know that I can always return to my faraway family in El Faro. Thank you, Church, for helping this team get to Guatemala and all of your prayers. We have nothing without God, His Word, and the power of prayer, and I was so blessed to be able to go on this trip again.
Hi, my name is Kayla Drew. I'm 14 years old and was the youngest on the trip, and this is my first out-of-country missions trip with my mom and my sister. What impacted me the most was seeing how happy and joyful these children were that were sick in the hospital with only one parent next to them. I will never forget seeing the smile on their faces when I was making them bracelets. They just seemed so grateful. Even though all of the kids didn't speak our language, they were so excited to see us and play with us. I'm so thankful to have had this opportunity to go. Thank you for all the prayers. This trip was such an eye-opener for me because it shows me how grateful I am for what I have. I know I will keep serving others.
Hi, I'm Privileged. I'm also a person who has safe drinking water and a surplus of food at home, who also happens to go by the name of Shay. This was my very first mission trip outside of the country, and I can say confidently that it definitely won't be my last. From a very young age, I was fortunate enough to be enrolled in a Spanish program at my school, and I fell in love with the language, hence why I've been speaking it for many years. Guatemala was such a blessing in my life. Being able to communicate with everyone, making the children smile, was a unique experience that you can't get anywhere else. One thing that still boggles my mind is that these people are extremely kind and selfless, even when, out of the ones that I've encountered anyway, most barely had food and no clean water. At school one day, I was approached by children, no older than 9, offering me a whole meal, knowing that this meal, chances are, for them might be the only one with the proper nutrients and vitamins for the day, gave me a reality check. Like, if I'm hungry, I could just walk a few feet to get to my fridge, whereas they have to worry about whether or not they will eat that day. I'm pretty sure I've made a mistake at the beginning when introducing myself. I forgot to also include that I am blessed.
Mm. Thank you, Shrey.
Hola, my name is Vonda. Months ago, when I heard about the youth missions trip to Guatemala, I had hoped my daughter Shay would be very interested. I just knew that this experience would be an amazing one for her and quite excited when she told me she wanted to go. A short time later, Jim Gulinello approached me and boldly said, "Vonda, you need to go with us." I've never declined something so fast in my entire life. I had a million reasons why I couldn't be missional, all the while giving reasons why my teen should be. In all honesty, I wasn't sure I wanted my comfortable, introverted life to be rocked. Long story short, my husband agreed, and I agreed that I needed to go. Words cannot accurately reflect the depth of my experiences on this trip. I found the people of Guatemala to be beautiful, kind-hearted, and very gracious. After spending 2 days renovating the surgical ward of the National Children's Hospital of Guatemala, I had the opportunity to visit their intensive care unit. Through Alex, our translator, the nurses shared their deep appreciation, saying, "May God bless you for your work. Without you, this ceiling could collapse, and who would help us then?" They spent time sharing with me the stories of a few of their young patients. I was in awe at what they could accomplish with so little. To my right was an incubator warming a small baby born more than 2 months premature, weighing in at just a little over 2 pounds. Preterm deliveries are common there with their lack of prenatal care, and as a result, the hospital had become very adept at taking good care of these critically ill children. In front of me in another bed was Marta. An 8-year-old girl who had been brought in by her family the night before. Marta's heart had begun to fail that morning, and the nurses were keeping her alive with the use of a ventilator. They were somberly awaiting the arrival of her family before removing all support, giving her family a chance to say goodbye. Knowing the financial state of Marta's family, the staff began pooling their money together for her final expenses. They invited me to join in on the collection. A meager $10 went towards the purchase of Marta's casket that day. During a conversation with missionary John Keene, I asked him what brought him to El Faro. I'd been on several mission trips, he replied, but this is the one place where I saw compassion and not pity. After chewing on that for a while, I started to see the difference. Compassion is sympathy in action for the long haul. Compassion, like Tommy Matthews' resolve to renovate an entire children's ward, one ward and one team at a time. Compassion, like Katie Matthews' commitment to helping women support their family by making bracelets or sewing tote bags out of scrap material. Compassion, like John Keene and Katie Erickson teaching the youth, giving them opportunities otherwise unavailable to them. Compassion, like our translator Alex, who makes inexpensive prosthetic legs in his free time, giving hope to many to walk and work. Compassion, like the nurses in that ICU, easing the burden of a grieving family. Although I'm back to my comfortable little life, there's a definite imprint on my life, on my heart, a catch in my throat, and a deep longing to return to Guatemala someday. I've already started learning more Spanish. In the meantime, big questions eat away at me. What is my mission field? How is God calling me to make a difference? How can I help those that I've met along the way? Until God reveals these answers to me, I will continue to read, pray, and boldly share these stories and more to anybody who will listen. May the words of Hosea ring true. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused.
Thank you, Vonda.
I'd like to praise God for the team. that went to Guatemala that I got to spend the week with 2 weeks ago. And in particular, I'd like to thank God for the youth that he has brought to this church and the work that he's doing in their lives. I think the testimonies about the missions trip speak for themselves, and I hope you're as encouraged as I am when you hear what is on the hearts of the young people in our church. And so that's my testimony today about Guatemala, is just my continued amazement in each experience that I have in working with the teens at our church about what their priority in life is. I think that you all probably suspect this already, but I don't know if our youth know themselves that you are role models in our world. To take the time to put your priority on going on a missions trip this summer, to raising all that money, to sacrificing that time back at home, to have that as your priority this summer is a real light to the peers that are around you. And I'm grateful for what God is doing in you and for your faithfulness to the call to go to Guatemala this summer. So I just want to give God the glory for that. Just one comment on their attitudes and their spirits while we're in Guatemala. The work that we did in the hospital, while some of it was painting and not the most strenuous physical labor, there was a lot of laborious tasks in there as well, and it was extremely hot and extremely humid, and they worked a full work day for 2 days straight, and I did not hear one complaint, but all I saw was a willingness to do the next task, to do the next task. And when I myself was doubting whether or not we would be able to accomplish everything that was set before us for those 2 days, I just saw a continued army of youth and adult leaders just jumping up ready to serve, and everything got finished. And I just praise God for that, because I know that that is his spirit in our team.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you. What'd you think? You guys grab a seat. Grab a seat. It's an incredible, incredible trip, and again, you heard from them. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for all that you did to make that a possibility for that team of 15 of us to go. So you and I know that we are in our book study, Story of Reality, and I was tasked with this, to preach these two chapters, and I was like, how in the world are these two chapters I've been tasked with work with a Guatemala missions trip report Sunday? And I don't know why I doubted that, because God and his spirit are in control. And so I could not have picked two chapters out of this book that could have been any better this morning that go along with this trip report. So talk about the worldview. You know, it says the story of reality, that the Christian worldview makes sense for the entire world. You have to think about that for a minute. I said, yeah, I live in Uxbridge. I grew up here. I've been here for 31 years. And so my worldview is Uxbridge, Blackstone Valley, New England, a little bit of Kansas when I was out there in college. But I was like, does this worldview really mean the world? So this would be a cool experiment, going down to Guatemala and seeing if this story of reality actually encompasses the whole world. So does this worldview, this Christian worldview, work in Guatemala? And so the two chapters that we find ourselves looking at this morning, the first one is the chapter on beautiful. And he talks about, the first few chapters talk about God, and now we're on to man. And he uses this term in the book, beautiful. And he says that the beauty is not based on outer appearances, it's not based on clothes, perfect nails, a perfect hair like mine. It's not, that doesn't matter. Name brands, cars, houses. Not based on how much people spend or consume, not based on materialism at all. And you and I know that, and here in the United States, that is how we see beauty. What's on the exterior, what they own, what they drive, what they wear, what they eat, where they go, where they spend their free time, who they interact with. But as you saw in that video, and as you heard these teens talk, did anybody in Guatemala have cars that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars? Did anybody in Guatemala have houses with concrete floors? Maybe a handful of people, but right, the teen said dirt floors. Did they have screens in their windows? No. Bugs everywhere. What kind of clothes did they wear? Whatever was donated, wherever they could find clothes, whatever they could make themselves. Did they have cars? No. They walked and walked and walked, and if they were lucky, maybe they had a little dirt bike. What's a dirt bike rated for? One person? We saw families of four and five people on these bikes trying to get to where they needed to go. They were not beautiful because they could consume a lot. Right? They were beautiful because they are based and made in the image of God. They have unalienable rights endowed by their Creator. They're no different than you and I. Beautiful people. And you could see it in their eyes, in their smiles, in their laughs, in their care for one another, in their generosity. In the video, when they were doing those home visits and they brought those water filtration systems, can you tell that that had an impact on our teens? To have clean drinking water, to have water to wash dishes, to brush their teeth, made a huge impact. And so in that part of that video, you saw the gentleman taking that long pole and knocking down coconuts from their coconut trees. What was he doing? He had visitors come to his house. And he took his coconuts, knocked them off his trees, and cut them and provided them to our teens. Our teens who could have pulled out their wallets and bought hundreds of coconuts on the spot. And this man, it's all he had, and he sacrificed that to give and to share and to be hospitable. Amazing. They are beautiful, beautiful people because God created them. And God made them, and they are his children, and they are worthy. And so that was the first chapter that I was supposed to speak on this morning. Beautiful. Not based on outward things, not based on what we own, but because we are created by God. Each and every one of us are beautiful. The next chapter was broken. And so he talks about people's worldview. Why the world is like it is. Why is it so messed up? Why is there so much hurt and pain and loss and suffering and those things? And so people have come up with this explanation that if you were to eliminate ignorance and poverty, then that crime would be eliminated too. Did you know that Guatemala had a 30-year war that just ended in 1996? I was 13 years old and this war was going on. I didn't have a clue. And did you know that the most educated and wealthy people from Guatemala, backed by a military U.S. coup in 1954, removed the president of Guatemala and instated a dictatorship of Carlos Armas? And from that, it began a 30-year war between militia and his dictatorship, trying to win back this democracy that was instated. And you think, how could that be? These educated guys, these people with brilliant degrees, they have great wealth, they don't need anything. And over the next 30-plus years, 200,000 civilians were killed in that war. And many others were forced to leave their homes in the north part of the country in Guatemala, and they had headed south to the jungle to try to eke out a living. And those are the people who we were ministering to. These refugees, these people who had left their homes and had to flee in order to live. And so they've been there in the jungle, eking a life out, trying to build little huts, trying to do what they can to find food and find water. And so that's where these people came from, running away from war, refugees in their own country, because power-hungry people who made decisions out of greed and unjustified fear ruined these people's lives, because these people in power are broken as well. And so, no, ignorance and poverty are not man's problems. Neither are education nor economics get to the real root of man's woes. Our real problem as human beings is moral. Badness is our world's problem. Your badness and my badness.
And here we come to the critical part in the story, he says in the book. The thing that went wrong with man caused what went wrong with our world. The world is broken because we are broken. Our badness made the world go bad. And that's what we experienced in Guatemala. This brokenness. This war-torn country trying to recover. Trying to get a government that will help and work and support. And that's why Tommy has been at this National Children's Hospital. This children's hospital has been in debt from its beginning almost. And so there's no funds to help recoup and renovate and take care of these things. And so, like Vonda said, the nurses were so grateful. Said, who would come help us? Nobody. The government's not going to come help because they can't. They owe too much. They said that there have been times in the hospital's history where pharmaceutical companies will deny them the medicines they need for their patients because they owe them too much. And so just in the last year, the mayor of that city has started to make a difference. For the first year, he did nothing to improve Guatemala, to improve that area, because he just went and took all the money he could and paid off their debts. And so starting this summer was the first summer that the hospital started debt-free, so they've been able to buy the medicine that they need for those children in that hospital. But it all stemmed from man's greed and his power hungriness and his fear of rising prices in the U.S. Can't believe our government did that. Makes me so mad. Now, I know I'm not supposed to get to the good news in these chapters, but I can confirm to you, this trip to Guatemala has proved to me that this Christian worldview does work in the entire world. And that the answer and the hope to the brokenness is the same whether you're in Guatemala or you are in Uxbridge. The brokenness that beautiful people need to have in their lives is Christ Jesus. And that comes later on in the chapters. But I couldn't leave you without that this morning, because that is what our group did that week. They brought Jesus and his hope. And some of that hope looked like refurbished ceilings in a hospital. Some of that hope looked like water filtration systems for these families who had no running water. Some of that hope looked like working with this woman's group that created these beads and these crafts and they could sell and provide for their family. And again, I'm so proud of that group, of what they did, of the hope they brought to those people there in Guatemala. I want to close with this quote. Jody Carter does an amazing job with our youth Facebook page. And she posted this quite a while ago, and I came across it. And it says this. I wanted to ask God why he doesn't do anything to help the hungry, the needy, the hurting, the thirsty, and the poor people in the world. But I was afraid he might ask me the same question. And so what are you and I doing but the hope that we have in our lives? What are we doing for the hungry? What are we doing for the needy? What are we doing for the hurting, the thirsty, the broken people, the beautiful people who need Jesus Christ? And that starts here in Uxbridge, in the Blackstone Valley. And if Lord willing, man, yeah, go on an international missions trip. Go with Sam Drew in a couple years back to Alfaro and Young Adult Group. Go 4 years with the teen missions when they go back to Alfaro. Go with the Missions Council when they go to Arizona or Germany or wherever they're going. But we are called to answer that question here. What are we doing? What are you and I doing with what we have to give the hope of Christ out to those around us? So I think that covers those two chapters. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let us stand and let me close us in prayer. Holy Spirit, you have just moved upon us this morning. Thank you, God, for the incredible report from our youth and the leaders, God, that went to Ofaro and saw what they saw and experienced what they experienced and left changed, left humbled, left challenged to come back here and share what they experienced and challenge others to do what they can do where they are at. So God, give us that compassion, Lord. Let us see people as you see them, beautiful, made in the image of God, worthy, valuable, no matter what status they are in, physical, material, emotional, Lord, wherever they are, God, they are beautiful and important to you, and that makes them important to us. So God, move among us. Lord, let us see ways that we can come around to people, support them, love them, and bring them the hope that only Christ can give. Thank you that you are the God of the entire world and that your worldview does work everywhere. Thank you for Christ and the hope he brings. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for our church family here, Lord, for the love they have for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you.